We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mark Barron was a vital player to what they do. Remember, he was a linebacker who could cover. He was an undersized linebacker. He was due $5 million in 2019. The Rams do want to clear up a little cash space, which is why they're not using the tag. And they're going to allow several of those players that we just saw to test the free agency market. But let's say that they lose out on Ndamukong Suh, which they're expecting. They expect the market to be too rich for him. These are two interior players on their defense now that they're going to have to somehow fill in Wade Phillips' 34 front.
Steve Weisch, NFL Network, explaining why the Rams cut Mark Barron. The Steelers pounced and picked him up. So it's been a fairly active free agency period for the Steelers. It started slow, and then they jumped in late. Steven Nelson, Dante Moncrief, and now Mark Barron. Of course, the big move, the Antonio Brown trade. I just looked at Bill Barnwell of ESPN, who when these moves get made, they put his reaction or analysis of these free agent signings and trades right up on the front of ESPN's website. He gave the Steven Nelson signing a C-. He gives Mark Barron a C+. And I think he gave the Antonio Brown trade a D+, if I'm not mistaken.
He was not charitable to the Antonio Brown trade. What did he give the Moncrief?
I don't even think he wrote about Moncrief.
To me, that's strange to me, because that one's the one most likely, I think, to actually help them this year. I think Moncrief is the only player of the three that they have actually brought on board that I have any true optimism about. Steven Nelson, we had Bob Fesco last week while you were busy lamenting Syracuse's early departure from the ACC tournament. And he basically said Steven Nelson was a guy that nobody even noticed for the almost entire duration of his time with the Chiefs, and then suddenly changed his name to Nelson Island and started giving away autographed Chiefs memorabilia on Instagram when he was going to hit free agency. That's a wonderful sign. Apparently everybody there, like the media there, hates him, so I know he's going to be great in the room. Mark Barron is a tweener at this point in this NFL, is a former top 10 pick who I don't think has ever set the world on fire.
Okay, so what are you saying about the Steelers
offseason? It's been bad, and you can't just take what they have done. You have to look at what other teams they will be challenging in their own division have done. The Browns have had the best offseason of anybody in football. Odell Beckham Jr., I know that it's not just him for the 17th pick. He will be better than anybody they would have picked at 17 in the draft. I think Olivier Vernon can still play. They got a lot better. The Ravens, I'm not super worried about, but they added Earl Thomas, who I still think can play, I think is an upgrade over Eric Weddle. Mark Ingram, if they're going to run the ball constantly, should help them in that regard.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say about their offseason, and this is why I don't like it. And I'm not as down on the AB trade as maybe you are. Although, when I saw what the Giants got back for Odell Beckham Jr. last week, it changed my opinion of the Steelers' return for Antonio Brown a little bit. Because I saw, like Starkey wrote, well, you know, Beckham didn't destroy things in New York the same way AB did here. In the middle of the season, the guy went on ESPN and said, Eli Manning isn't a good enough quarterback for me. That's pretty bad. That's pretty explosive. He sat next to Lil Wayne before like a game.
Doesn't that help? Said, doesn't it help his cause that he's right? I mean, he was right. Eli Manning stinks.
Well, I hear you, man, but like,
I think he came out of that looking like a truth teller.
All right, but if the argument is Odell Beckham Jr. didn't napalm the New York Giants, that's not wholly accurate. He didn't quit on his team like Antonio Brown. But he also created drama and headaches for the organization, and they still flipped him for a first, a third, and they got maybe a decent safety back in the trade, too. Look, here's why I don't like the Steelers' offseason. I'm just going to put it as bluntly as this. If you just look at what they're going to make this year, Steven Nelson and Mark Barron are going to cost the Steelers $14 million. It would have made way more sense instead of giving two average to below average players $14 million a year, to go find a guy that's actually worth that kind of money. Like, you know, in this case, I'd rather have quality than quantity. Don't give me two bodies. Don't give me a corner that only burst on. And Steven Nelson did not burst onto the scene. The Chiefs had a historically bad pass defense. They sacked the corner. They were like the Steelers. They got pressure and they did like diddly poo with it.
So and he was even their first choice. They wanted Bradley Roby, who started one game.
Yeah, nobody knew Steven Nelson until Tuesday night when he signed. Okay, so I'm not going to try to put lipstick on that pig. Mark Barron, to me, might be Morgan Burnett 2.0. I just don't. Other than, if you want depth, don't give a guy 2 years, $12 million.
The Mark Barron deal is very simple. It's have some backup in case you don't get one of the Devin Bush, basically, because Devin White's going to be gone too early. In case you don't get Devin Bush in the first round of the draft,
that's very expensive insurance.
I know. I'm not disagreeing with you. I'd rather have a $14 million a year caliber player than two guys who add up to that. I mean, you say he's Morgan Burnett 2.0. Yeah, sure. Right down to the injury concerns, which I remember there being with Morgan Burnett. They've had a bad offseason, man. Moncrief, I think, is going to be pretty decent. I think he showed when Luck was healthy he could be a productive receiver, and then he played for Jacksonville last year, which should be
whatever. 56% of our audience in a poll I posted are saying the Steelers are having a good offseason.
Why?
Please, why? Someone who feels that way, explain to me why. I'm not even being a jerk when I put that challenge
out
there.
It's blind faith. It's blind faith.
In what? Mike Tomlin?
No, I think it's blind faith in the idea that
in the Steeler way?
You just don't want to, if you're a fan, you don't want to acknowledge the following. You are not really endorsing their offseason. You are just grumbling against the current of, holy crap, the Browns seem to have it together. And the Ravens aren't completely, the Ravens aren't having a great offseason either.
No, like,
but I think people don't
Chris,
really acknowledge that they are suddenly not the favorite in
okay,
this division.
Okay, I hear that. If you can, in a vacuum, explain to me why you think their roster got better this offseason.
It didn't. It did not.
Okay, that's what I'm asking. Like, they downgraded at wide receiver, but I can live with that because I think Moncrief will make plays for them, and he's not going to come with the baggage, and he's much cheaper, and I was ready to move on from Antonio Brown, even though I'm not over the moon with the return. Their defense needed to get a lot better, and I just don't look at Steven Nelson and Mark Barron as solutions. And I don't know how you could exactly.
I want to do this coming up next. I think it's the second poll question of the two you just posted. It's the results that I'm seeing to that one that inform me as to why fans out there think they're having a good offseason. The results to your second poll question about what their best actual move is tell me all I need to know about
Craig,
how people view
this. I mean, Craig, you wear Steelers-colored glasses. Do you think they're having a good offseason?
I like the Moncrief move more than anything. Which,
I didn't just ask the Moncrief question.
Yes or no? Do you like their offseason?
No, the defensive players are uninspiring.
Okay. Well, there was a result of your second poll question that I think says it all about why people are liking their offseason.
We have more to chew on from a Steelers offseason than usual because they made a colossal trade and they've signed three players who might all start.
That's not a good thing if Mark Barron starts.
Are the Steelers having a good offseason? Yes or no? 412-928-9370. And on Twitter, at 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, with locations in North Huntington and the North Hills. Pierre Maguire was at the Penguins game last night, watched them collapse late, and he will join us at 4 o'clock. It's the PM team.
Percent, little pump fake. Got his man wide open down the field. It is caught. Dante Moncrief for the touchdown.
Artie Burns gets caught looking into the backfield. A double pump move by Dante Moncrief.
Ah, yes. Greg Gumbel, Trent Green. That one from the archives.
That touchdown counts for half because he beat Artie Burns.
And now they'll go
head-to-head in practice when Dante Moncrief's running scout team against Artie Burns' third string.
That's another thing about the Steelers' offseason that I just don't get. So Bud Dupree and Artie Burns come back. If it is a league where the owners are cutthroat and can cut you, change contracts willy-nilly, not everybody has guaranteed money, how is it that Artie Burns and Bud Dupree
safe? You and I might feel differently, but for the purposes of what you're saying, They don't look at Bud Dupree, I think, organizationally the way people on the outside do. I think without fail, everyone I talk to that covers that team that would have any kind of feeling as to the pulse of Kevin Colbert on this says that they generally like Bud Dupree.
My brother
as a ball
got
player.
Me, when we were down in Charlotte
wild,
last week,
dude.
Got me excited because he was looking around. He was like in the mood to look up free agent rumors. He either found an article or somehow stumbled on, I don't know how people do this, but he found that Justin Houston has followed a bunch of Steelers players.
Yeah, I saw that little rumor going around. That would be a little better than Bud Dupree.
If I'm going to spend $14 million a year on Steven Nelson and Mark Barron, how about I do Justin Houston for about 10? And I find some other bargain barrel corner or hybrid linebacker safety for 4, and I just get the better player. I just get the guy that at one point in his career was an absolute monster.
The arrogance,
and go that route.
I think that's where I go back to like organizational arrogance. They say Bud does what we ask him to do. We're fine with that. We do things a certain way. Justin Houston might upset that apple cart. Do you disagree though? You talk to the same people I talk to. We have them on the show. It sounds like organizationally they think Bud Dupree is a perfectly fine football player.
I don't
know
if I agree with that, because if they did, where's his contract extension? Why would you let him go
They still want more out of him into a prove it situation, but they don't hate him enough to think, "Oh, we'll just cut him." Also, who are their outside linebackers? TJ Watt, Bud Dupree, and yes, Anthony Ciccolo, who signed a 2-year, $8 million deal and said, let's go get that ring. Which would be like Brian Scalabrine re-signing with the Celtics and saying that.
How about this Twitter poll answer? Best move of the Steelers offseason?
This speaks to what I think is why people are telling you they're having a good offseason.
36% say the Antonio Brown trade. That beats the Moncrief signing, Nelson signing, and Barron signing.
So this is what I was going to go to. The fact that people are telling you they're having a good offseason, more than half, right? Speaks to the fact that the best answer you got, or the highest voted answer you got on that question, is the best receiver in the league being traded for a third and a fifth. And this is not like a Matt Christopher book where the team rallies in the end. In reality, trading your best player and the best in the league at his position for a meager return, relatively speaking, is probably not a net good. Right this second, the fact that people will say that is the best move shows how insane people are. That is not a good move. The fact that you had to do it is not a good thing. The fact that it got done is not a good thing. He is the best wide receiver in the league. He made the Steelers appreciably better. It went horribly south for them between the team and Antonio Brown, but him being gone is not a net good on the
field. Yes, to all that. Can I give you something that I'm having deja vu over regarding
sure.
the Steelers?
Yes.
This whole Devin Bush infatuation reminds me a lot of the same way this town talked about Jarvis Jones.
I knew you were going to say that.
And it was off of Steelers' lousy season where they had missed the playoffs. And everybody was like, if we're going to get back to winning, we need this guy. We need him.
Big school player.
Woodley a bust. Shouldn't have given him that money. Got fat cat syndrome. Harrison's long in the tooth. We've won Super Bowls with a pass rush and an outside linebacker. This guy was the best defensive player in the SEC. We need him. And then the Steelers make the pick. And everybody, you know, handed out their draft report card 2 minutes later and gave it an A-plus stamp of approval. And the guy's out of the NFL.
I believe we have the old Kevin Colbert clip not too far off where it's him and Mike Tomlin both.
This is an easy evaluation.
Yeah, I agree with Kevin. Yeah, you know what's funny about Devin Bush? You type his name into Google, into the search bar, and you hit the space bar. One of the next words, it's like junior,
Steelers.
Highlights, Michigan, Steelers. It's like the fifth autofill result.
Very pleased to have a player like Jarvis Jones available for us.
Yeah, I share those thoughts and feelings with Kevin.
So the problem here is that Devin White is pretty obviously thought of as the better player of the two, the better prospect.
And he's gone.
And he's going to be gone 10 picks before the Steelers go, probably. He's thought of in that. And they're probably not going to move up. I don't think they would move up to take him. I don't know, man. I it's funny that you bring up Jarvis Jones because the parallels are perfect. They don't play the same spot, obviously. One's inside, one was outside. But big school player, right, put tape down against good teams. You say, okay, the bona fides are there. He was competing at the highest level of college football.
I just can't remember the last time, other than that, the fan base was convinced that this is the player we need and we want to get in the draft.
I can think of one.
Who?
And it's not fair to bring him up, but Shazier was thought of that way, I felt like. People were salivating over him on the inside. Like, here's a guy that is a vintage
Steeler
fit. Yeah,
but you know
fit.
What, though, Chris? That draft, I remember going back and forth on whether or not Mosley was the better player.
I just remember them taking Shazier.
And the jury was not out on that.
I remember them taking Shazier and people saying, remember Tomlin said it, we project him to be a starter. And there were sort of gasps at first because it was so unheard of for a defensive rookie to be given that sort of hype. But then all the people that covered him and everything else said, no, that fits. That's what he should be.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.